I still want a sefer that was put out by Rav Ovadia Yosef's Talmidim. This is not, I can't verify whether this is actually from Rav Ovadia Yosef or not. I can't. I'm not positive. I saw it from a few places and I said I was going to get it, so I pulled it out and I said, it brings up an interesting question that probably should be discussed. And he gives a couple answers, and I think each one of them has something to it that I think we can take out of. It's amazing that we have today in our world things that the previous generations obviously could not have even imagined, right? To have a sink and a shower in our houses is obviously something that no one could have imagined, let alone had. You didn't have a sink and shower inside your house. You had maybe a bath if you were a really famous king. And maybe you had water that was brought to you by a servant. But nothing more than that. Bathrooms. Bathrooms are amazing. Absolutely amazing. Heat and air conditioning, sometimes in the wrong times, but they're there. Massive shopping centers and just a jewel, a grocery store, right, where every food is available to you for you at any time. One of my favorite Rav Pesach Kron stories is one of the stories where he saw a Russian couple after Project Exodus come to New York for the very first time and just walking like wide-eyed and amazed at the supermarket. This is in Brooklyn. Brooklyn supermarket is like the size of this Bima. You know what I'm saying? Like they're tiny. They're walking around just like all the stuff just completely everywhere, and then takes a right turn over there. But regardless, it's over there. You've got places where you can buy 48 rolls of toilet paper for a very, very small part. Just toilet paper in and of itself. They didn't, you know, you go through the Gemaras and you learn what they had to use. You're just amazed, absolutely amazed. Like, you can't believe that they had this stuff. Books, just svarim, pens, the ability to write something down. You didn't have that back then. And they go on, medicines, the different medicines that we have today, the vaccines that we have, toothpaste, just toothpaste. You will save your teeth to make sure that your teeth actually exist. Deodorant, so that not the whole world probably smells horribly, I would assume, right? And then you get to the computers and phones and cars, right? And planes and skyscrapers and all the other things that we take for granted, that just in this world everything is right there with everything at our fingertips. If I wanted to know something, in theory I could take this evil phone and I could go check up whatever I want that's for evil and somewhat like 1% for good. But there's an ability to do whatever I need to know, I can get, I can bring it all over there. So Ovadia Yosef either was asked or asks this question. We all understand the concept of Yoridus Adoros, that as the generations have gone on, then there's a certain level that has been lost over the years. That as time has been, it's just, it hasn't been the same way. We understand the superiority of our Rebbeim and our parents in a way that they are greater than us in a certain aspect. Hopefully, qualitatively, I would assume that the way that it's usually understood, that qualitatively they understand things better. They were deeper than what we are. And it makes sense, meaning the farther away you are from Har Sinai and the giving of the Torah, of Matan Torah and Kabbalah Satorah, then it makes sense that the further away you are, the less inclined you are to understand things the way that they did. I understand that. I completely understand that type of idea. My Rebbe has always told me the greatness of his Rebbe, of Rav Chaim Zimmerman. And I know how my Rebbe is in learning, and how I'm not going to compare to where he is. And he says that he doesn't compare to even the tiniest little thing of Rav Chaim Zimmerman. Rabbi Ravel in Beis Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael used to be in Leiv Avram, in Yeshivas Leiv Avram. There are legends about Rabbi Ravel. Rabbi Ravel's Rebbe, Rav Gussman, Rabbi Ravel says he didn't even come close to touching Rav Gussman. And I understand that. I feel the same way about my father in certain aspects. Right? That there are certain things that I'm never going to be able to get that he's already gotten. And that idea of Yoridus Adoros is there. But then if you take it even further, Yoridus Adoros could be understood in such a way that if you would take it further back, go to the times of the Tanoim, or possibly the Amoraim, and you have people that were so filled with chokmah and yira, and their avas Hashem was so great, they were able to be pulled things that nobody else was able to be pulled, that we couldn't even imagine that we were able to do today. Let's think, just from the meisim that are brought in Shas, just from those meisim that are brought in Shas, there were Amorayim and Tanoim that could kill people just by looking at them. Just by looking at them. Yobaba Ine, they turn into a galashal atzamos. There were Tanoim and Amorayim that were able to do Tchiyas Amesim. There's even a line that every Amora had the ability to do Tchiyas Amesim. Every single one of them had those abilities to be able to do. There was Rabbi Yehuda, who could make it rain by simply taking off his shoe. Just by taking off his shoe, he's able to make it rain. The other Amoraim had to daven a little bit. Like Abayi, Rabba. They had to daven a little bit in order for it to come. But still, they were guaranteed rain when they davened. They were guaranteed rain. Rabbi Yehuda taking off his shoe. They were able to make hundreds of pumpkins sprout out from the ground with a single word. That's a Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Just amazing things that are at this. You have to wonder, how is it possible that those Chachamim that had a tremendous amount of wisdom and understood things deeper than we do and were privy to secrets of the Torah that we don't understand, how did they not consider making all these things for themselves? How did they not have it for themselves? That's the kasha. That's to be prefaced with the Aridas Adoros part. Boy, it is. So I don't want you to answer, just simply put, because they didn't have that wisdom. I understand that could be an answer. That's a possibility. But the question is further than that. It's what did they think? They must have understood that things would be easier if they made X, Y, and Z. So why didn't they apply themselves to figure out these types of chokmos in order to bring about these types of things? See, a computer does have a tremendous amount of chokmah in it. It's an unbelievable idea. Why not come up with that concept? Why not create paper? Paper is not that hard to make. Why couldn't they have created such a concept or made it more prolific for everybody around? And pens, things like that. Why couldn't they have made it easier for themselves the way that it is so easy for us now? So there are four answers that he gives. He actually gives five, but I'm skipping one. He quotes the Chafetz Chaim, which I've not seen, and I don't know where he's quoting it from. But he quotes the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim answers the question by saying that the previous generations were bedakka smarter because they didn't create these things. He says, murder is so common nowadays because the weapons of destruction that a person can use are so commonplace. Anybody can get it. If you want a gun to kill somebody, you can get it. It's very easy to get. There's so many more ways that a person could be involved in death. See, more people die in car accidents daily than have died in all the previous wars. And maybe not if you put them together. Start from before the 1900s. We're dealing with hundreds and thousands of people that are dying. Just daily. All you have to do is go on an expressway in Chicago, and you'll see how many people have passed away that year in car accidents in just the Chicagoland area. That's crazy. It's crazy. It always hits about 1,000 something by the end of the year. I think one year they were all happy because it was only 968. They didn't hit the four-digit mark. And they're all so happy, like, oh, wow, Baruch Hashem, we're able to get there. But that's something that's crazy. They knew this. They considered it, and they refused, said the Chafetz Chaim, to create new things because of it. They kept the world as it was, and generations of people hid certain knowledge from one another so that they wouldn't be able to go out and hurt people with it. That such knowledge would not be able to go out and go somewhere. Another issue we see today is that technology progresses, which is supposed to make life easier, more accessible to people. Obviously, life has been a little bit more complex, more complicated, and difficult to understand. And that, he says, is another aspect. That Chazal looked at it and they said, you know what, it's not worth it. It's not worth the amount. The easiness of getting through something may not be there. Now, I don't fully understand this question. I'll give you my reason why, and then possibly the answer as to why the Chafetz Chaim may have felt differently. I don't want to guess in why, but there's certain aspects that I don't understand. Why would that explain why you're withholding medicines? I understand why you wouldn't make a car, because you're afraid of the death that comes with it, or guns, because of the death that comes with it. I get that. Why wouldn't you make medicines or vaccines that would have been so easy to make, and then you would have saved hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions of lives? Why wouldn't you have done that? I mean, there are certain things that I understand. You wouldn't do this. You wouldn't get that done. But the Chafetz Chaim's answer, I feel, doesn't hold water when it comes to medicine. I don't understand why they wouldn't have done that. Meaning, the question is, why didn't Chazal create these things to make life better? And the answer is, life wouldn't be better. But life would have been better if there were medicines. But I don't know, because if we mamash, like, think this through, there clearly was a safer harafuos, which was a safer created in order to heal people, which seemingly had medicines and had certain ways of doing things that worked. And yet Chizkiyahu hid that book said people wouldn't use it and was praised for it. Now, well, what does that mean? Why are you being praised for killing people? People were probably dying when that happened. So why is that a schmach that you were able to do such a thing? Clearly, there's something to this. There is something to not coming out with vaccines. You're not coming out with medicines. Now, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm just telling you that in the first place, okay? And I'm not into saying then don't do it ever again. I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. I don't fully understand where the Chofetz Chaim is coming from, but clearly there's a svara behind what the Chofetz Chaim is saying. Clearly there's a svara. If that's the svara, what I just said, or maybe it's something different. I'm not going to put words in the Chofetz Chaim's mouth, especially when I haven't seen it straight inside. I remember listening to a tape, I know, I'm dating myself, of Rav Victor Miller, in which Rav Victor Miller has a whole thing on how if Chazal would have known what would be with cars and planes, they would have ushered people from traveling in cars and planes. The amount of death. And he said, this is not backwards, regressing, says Rav Victor Miller. The idea is that they were so, they were choshesh for Nisa. They were so worried about such things. They wouldn't allow you to have even a suffix of Nisa by going in a car or going in a plane. Again, it's a different world by us. That's not something that I fully understand, but I get it. It's sort of another idea in which it takes work to figure out, but they're trying to save us by keeping us away from things that are dangerous. But that's one answer. One answer is that Chazal were smarter for not bringing it about. The Ben Yoyada answers this question. The Ben Ishchai, Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, he answers this in Gittin. And those who were in my shir for Shavuos this past year, you might have heard part of this. In which the answer is that Shlomo Melech had certain abilities. And there's a Gemara in Gittin, right by the Prakam of Misha Afsukadaikis, in which it says that he had something called a Shidza. And according to Rashi, one of the explanations in Rashi is that it was a wagon that was pulled by Shadim. A wagon pulled by Shadim, meaning it wasn't pulled by horses, it went on its own. It's pulled by Shadim, so to speak. So the Ben Yoyada says that this was a coal-powered train. That he had created the same concept of a coal train, which a train goes, he had created that for himself. That was back in the early 1900s, right, in Iraq. Today, you probably would have said Shlomo Melech made the first electric car, because even he wouldn't have used a gas-powered car. Who would, right? But he made an electric car. He figured out some way of making a wagon that traveled on its own, says the Ben Ishchai. Not literally with Shadim, but it looked like it was with Shadim because people didn't see any drivers. There was nobody driving it. There was no horses in front of it, and it just went on its own. So he created a wind-up toy. He created a whatever it was, but he created that. The Ben Ishchai goes on and says, so why didn't he tell other people about this? And other things. Why didn't Shlomo Melech tell everybody? He clearly had a kisei, a throne, that had all these mechanical operations on it, where all these animals were doing things and the crown was put on top of his head. He had a mechanical throne. How did he not tell the other people how this worked? He could have caused a whole revolution. The Industrial Revolution could have happened 2,000 years earlier. So why didn't Shlomo Melech, what says the Ben Yoyada, he was worried about the Jews. Because even though it was peaceful in his time, he said, what will be if we make coal trains? That means if an army wants to fight the Jews, if an army wants to come up against the Jews, they now have easier access to getting to Eretz Yisrael quicker. If a million people die at war, a million more people are coming to kill the Jews. He said, I don't want that to happen. And then other technological advancements can be used to further the nation's wish or will to destroy the Jews. We all know, it's not something that we're... Hitler, Yimach Shemo, used trains to make Jews travel to certain places and was able to create gas chambers to kill many, many Jews at once. We know that happened. Yimach Shemo v'zichro, without a question. But it's only because he had access to all these types of things because of technological advancements that allowed him to kill so many more people so quickly that in 4, 5, 6 years he was able to destroy 6 million Jews. Without those, it would never have happened. So Ben Yehuda says, I'm worried about that. Shlomo Melech was worried about that. If I show people how these things work, they're going to take it further, and they're going to use it to exterminate the Jews. And that I never want to happen. He knew what would happen with his inventions, what they would be used for, and he didn't allow it to happen. He didn't want that to happen. So that's another word. Both of those are negative. Both of them are negative. The first way, the Chafetz Chaim, because they knew that this is going to be worse for the world. Second way, Shlomo Melech, because it was worse for the Jews, the way the Ben Yehuda is learning it. Rav Yosef himself says a different answer. People were a lot simpler back then. A villager had no desire to go see the big city. A villager did not need to see skyscrapers. There was no need, that drive, that desire to see more and want more and to be involved in all these things. A villager was not like that. His life was immersed in what he was doing, in his work, as well as his ruchnius. Meaning, even if he's an Amaharis, and he's not involved in Chokhmas HaTorah, still he was involved with his work, and he didn't need, if somebody would tell him, come off your farm for a little bit, come with me to the big city to go see it, he'd say, well, what's the point? What's the point? Why would I need to do that? It was a simpler life. You didn't need to see things with your own eyes. It was fine. You tell me about it, okay, that's great. And now I'm going back to my work. This is practical. This is what I have to do. See, he could see the Chokhman things just by looking at it himself. And granted, there were people who were never able to get very far or very deep, but that was all they needed. They didn't feel like they had to jump steps or be the most brilliant person in the world or to understand everything. It was okay. I understand how my field works. That's what I need to know. That's where my topless is. That's what I have to do. When I have to go see a skyscraper, there's no need for me to see a skyscraper. I'm not going to get anything out of that. It's a level of Amunah Pshuta, which we've talked about before. A simplistic way of looking at life and to look at the world, which these great men once had. I know, in the age of Twitter, and in the age of ESPN, and in the age of all these news stations that need everything to be done right then, you have to be the first to find out. You have to be the first person to put it out there. We have to tell everybody right now, before it becomes old news. I understand what he's saying a little bit better. I get it. You know, I just gave an unbelievable excuse to something over to a United agent. I know I didn't tell everybody what happened about when I came back on a plane from over the vacation, but I came back on a plane and something happened to my kid's wheelchair. So I've been hacking with United Airlines ever since then. I've been talking it over with them, trying to figure out what they could do, etc. And eventually they fixed everything. They fixed everything they broke, which is a lot, right? But it's been 5 weeks. Right? So now, we were in discussion today, and she said, well, what did you want to do? I said, I'll tell you what I could have done. I could have very easily, and a friend told me that this is what I should do in the first place, I just didn't do it. I could have very easily gone on Twitter, and I didn't tell her I didn't have a Twitter account, you know, but I'd find somebody who tweets, and I'd go on a Twitter account and say, way to go, United Airlines, you really messed over my kid who's in a wheelchair. And what happens then? What happens then? That goes around the world. And all I have to do is hashtag I hate United or something like that. Right? Then all of a sudden, right, it gets everywhere. I could have been on the front page of, I don't know, AOL.com isn't used anymore. Whatever it is. Right? And everything's out there. Who knows what could have been? And I could have cost you millions. Millions. From one Twitter. From one thing where everybody's like, yeah, I hate United also. Go American. Right? That's all I could have done. Do you realize what kind of a world we're in? I said, I didn't do that. Because I wanted to give you a chance to respond. I wanted to see what you would do instead. And you've handled it somewhat pretty well. I could use extra tickets. But regardless, you could have handled it. But you understand, this is the world that we're living in. I can threaten using Twitter to destroy a company. I can do that. I have the ability. Me, little G. Zimmerman, can sit here and I can write one little thing and I can destroy an entire company. Obviously, I'm not going to destroy all of United Airlines. Just a lot of it. That's what I could do. I could lower their stock value by just 1%. You know what 1% would mean? That's millions and millions of dollars. Millions. It's a crazy idea. It's a crazy concept. That's one thing. Okay? The idea of Rav Avi Yosef is saying that the villagers had no desire. They just didn't care. There was nothing. And now the world is different. And therefore, when the Rabbanan looked at things and said, should we invent it? They said, there's no need. There's no need. I thought life would be easier. Why does life need to be easier? That's what they said. Why does life need to be easier? It doesn't need to be easier. Sometimes the difficulty builds character, right? It builds character, makes you stronger, makes you a better person. That's a possibility. That's a possibility that they went through. Then he suggests something different. Back in 2003, I was living in Ramat Eshkol, and for Shabbos HaGadol, it's difficult to find a Shabbos HaGadol drasha when you're living in Eretz Yisrael, and you live among Americans, because for some reason, the Shabbos HaGadol drashas are difficult to come by. Shabbos Shuvah as well. So I went to Rav Nachum Eisenstein. Rav Nachum Eisenstein is the Rav Malo Gafna. His brother, Rav Beryl, was a Rebbe of mine in base for about 3 months. Unfortunately, he passed away, but I remember going to him, and remember he spoke, and this must have been Shabbos Shuvah, it wasn't Shabbos Gadol, Shabbos Shuvah. He spoke about the words that we don't really say in the Ashamnus. After the Ashamnus, we say, Ashamnu mikol'am, that we are guilty in comparison to all the other nations of the world. And he said, what are we guilty from when it comes to the other nations of the world? We keep the Torah. We listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do mitzvahs. What do you mean, Ashamnu mikol'am? They don't do any of this. But we're involved with every aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean we're guilty of the other people? He says an amazing thing. He said, you know what the difference is? The difference is like this. He says, we're so far away from Har Sinai. So far away from Har Sinai. That with every passing generation, that grasp of the Torah is a little bit weakened. And I don't even know what the previous generation was talking about. I mean, when Baruch Be'er writes the Chiluk and says, here's the shot behind the Gemara, I have to read the Birkat Shmuel 3 or 4 times to be able to understand what he's even getting at. Let alone, let's go back to an Oris Samach, let alone go back to a real Shachan Kaz, let alone to understand a Rashba and a Rashi. I have no clue what the Rashba was talking about. Meaning the more it goes on, instead of building up in a certain way, we're breaking it down. And we're so slow, and we have no ability, we're just losing it a little bit. I don't even know what the Rashba was talking about, let alone the Pasuk. Let alone the Pasuk in the Torah. I have absolutely no idea. I just can't figure it out. Meaning when it comes to learning, yes, we're trying to build it back up, but we're building back up in such a way we're just trying to understand Pasuk, Pshat, and Rashi. We just want to know what the Rishon says. You know what I'm saying? We're not building anything. We're not making a better Rashi. We can't make a better Rashi. All we can do is try to get to the level of maybe how Rashi understood it. There's a famous story of the Pnei Yeshua's father. Pnei Yeshua's father wrote a sefer that was entirely, it was all about answering up Rashi. Rashi's, the kashas that Tosus had in Rashi, he would answer it all up. I forgot the name of the sefer. It's in the back. It's, do you remember Shango? The what? Yeah, that's right. The Pnei Yeshua. Yeah. Megidei Shlomo. The Megidei Shlomo, that sefer that was written. So when he passed away, he said, I don't know if this is a true story or not, it doesn't really make a difference. But the Megidei Shlomo said, when he passed away, that there were, I don't know how many, he said, Rashi just came in, and he said, out of the 1,000 terutzim that I gave for Rashi, 7 of them were correct. Seven of them got shot in Rashi. Do you understand that? That's where we're going. We're going backward. It's the opposite way of where we should be. We're not building the way we should. We're not making the ideas. The Kedushim are not getting any better. The Kedushim are based on what everybody else is writing. Let's go on the other hand. On the other hand, the other nations of the world have been making it better and better. They're so strong. They're working on previous generations and able to make more and more and more and more. You take the concept of a person flying a kite and lightning hitting the kite, and you create electricity, which forms lights, which forms computers, which allows so many things to go. People are building off what everybody else is doing and making it even stronger. Ashamnu mikol'am means we're looking at the other nations of the world and we're embarrassed. We're degraded. We look at them. They're building and creating and they're making it so huge. And we can barely get shot in Rashi. We're not doing what they're doing. We're not building the same way they're building. And granted, it's in another way, but this is the idea of Ashamnu mikol'am. Says Rav Ovadia Yosef, based on that idea that I heard from Rav Nachum before, that in a certain way, yes, quantitatively, our Torah is nothing. Like, it's so much greater, I should say, than what they had back then. We have Sfarim. We can look up everything. Whatever we need, we have at our fingertips. We have it right there. That's an amazing, amazing bracha that we have. Quantitatively, we probably have more people learning now than ever before. I realize there were 24,000 Talmidim by Rabbi Akiva. But the 24,000 Talmidim were already people, I would assume, that were already out there in the world teaching or going out there. It couldn't be there were 24,000 people in one yeshiva at one time. There's no yeshiva that was ever that big. But quantitatively, numbers-wise, there's more people learning now than ever. But qualitatively, it's not comparable. We don't have a comp. We can't do it. That's the idea. Torah has everything necessary to build up from it and to create even more and to make it even greater. But instead, we want to work in the other areas. We see tremendous advancement from the Am, from the other people of the world. We don't see that advancement in our Gemara. We're not seeing it the same way. Says Rav Yosef, it's an unbelievable line. So in other words, it's not that Chazal didn't want to do it, he's saying. It's that slowly but surely it progressed, and the nations of the world were able to build upon one another to be able to create the world we had today. That wasn't possible a couple thousand years ago. They didn't have that ability. According to this answer, it's not that Chazal could have, but they didn't. It's that Chazal couldn't have. They didn't have those abilities back in the day because the ideas weren't there yet. The ideas weren't shaykh yet. That's the idea that Rav Avad Yosef is trying to bring out from it. On the other hand, in that vein, the Torah allows us to be almost like embarrassed at what we're doing with all this. It's almost like a musr shmooze to us. So to summarize, either Chazal understood that technological advancement can cause the downfall of society, and that's why they wouldn't be involved in such things, or the technological advancement could have an irreparable effect on Klal Yisrael at large, and they knew that, and therefore they didn't be, obviously leading to a horrific Holocaust, or Emunah Pshuta was more important to them than any possible advancement that they could get to, or we're going backward and we're losing the battle. That's more negative than all of them, even though it seems to be a positive answer to the thing we have. It's just a positive answer with a spin. But to end on a high note, quantitatively we still have it. Numbers wise we still have it. We understand what we're doing. We understand why we're getting into it. And maybe our heads are not made for it, but we know that Echad Amar VeEchad Amamid Bavad Shiachav and Liba L'Shem Shemayim. We have to go into our Torah learning not worried about what we're not getting. It doesn't matter that I won't be able to finish all of Shas with Rishonim. It doesn't matter. It's the concept of, I am doing what I can do. I'm doing what I can do. That's the way we have to look at it. We have to say to ourselves, okay, I won't be able to finish all of Brachos with Rashi, Tosus, Rush, Muki Yosef, Rabbeinu Yonah, and everything else out there. I won't. But you know what I can do? I can learn this block really, really well. I can get this down so that I can do a Shakavataria backward and forward. I can do it in such a way that when somebody asks me a question, I'll be able to tell them easily, oh, Brachos got Nunchas. I can tell it to them. I'll be able to say to them, I can do that. And you know what? Even if I can't get there, even if I can't do that, you know what? But I know this line really, really well. And I know that sounds like a joke. It's not a joke. What difference does it make if it's one line, or one page, or 1,000 pages? You're working so hard to get up there. Learn. Bring yourself up. Allow yourself to think to yourself. We may not be there, but build yourself up from it. Maybe then we won't be Osham Demikolam. Maybe they have the advancement. Maybe they have the inventions. Maybe they're building on top of each other. You know what I'm doing? I'm building up on myself. I'm building up on what I can do. I'm doing more in my world than they're doing in their world. And keep this line in mind, because we say it every single day. Anu amelim v'hem amelim. They're working, and I'm working. Anu amelim v'kavim schar. We're working, and we're mekabel schar in olam haba for the amelus that we're doing, regardless of the result. We are getting schar for the amelus. V'hem amelim v'hem mekabel schar. They're working, but they don't get schar for the amelus. They get schar for only the results. The results are not always what we would want as a real result. To keep that in our minds, that anu amelim v'hem amelim, that's what we want from this. To put ourselves together and to make ourselves feel better on that. Maybe then we won't feel so ashamed, guilty from the other nations out there. Shkari, everyone. Have a good day.